And indeed, we begin the trek home 7 minutes after three, live from our studios in the heart of downtown Lexington at the corner of Vine and Broadway. It's Cruiser and Crew waving at the traffic going by. Hi! People driving. We're on the third floor of the Central Bank building over here. I'm watching traffic head east on Main Street. Good to have you with us. Once again, the phone number 253-5959 and the email address cruiser at WVLKAM.com. Got a lot to get to today and a guest coming up right after the news in the next hour. Several things that have popped today, maybe since you got to work or got up the this morning. And Al covered some of this on the news. We do have a winter weather advisory, so let's let the freak out begin. We have a winter weather advisory in effect from 7 a.m. tomorrow until 7 tomorrow evening. The official forecast, I think, is for 1 to 3 inches, and some areas may get 4 inches. Of course, this is one of these deals where a snowstorm takes a particular track, and you don't know what track it's going to take until it gets right up on you. Bill Mack, who will join us in the next hour, this is what he posted on Facebook here about a half an hour or so ago. We're tracking our first significant accumulating snow of the winter season. Our winter threat index has been raised to 1. Now, this is something Channel 18's got. It's a 0 to 5. Zeros, don't worry about it. 5 means, well, we're all doomed. Well, it's 0 to 4. I'm sorry, 0 to 4. He's got it as 1. So that's a fairly slight risk, or at least slight in terms of how problematic it may be. Snow will begin Thursday afternoon for most of us, with the heaviest likely snow falling from mid-afternoon into the evening. So this could have some impact on the morning rush. Did I see, now I came in here, let's see, I've been here for about 5 hours, I guess. I guess I got in here around 10 o'clock this morning. And as I was coming in on High Street, I noticed the left-hand lane has those lines in the road as if it had been pre-treated. Would they have been pre-treating these already this morning? Or maybe it was something else. I don't know. Now, the right-hand lane didn't have anything. But there were those lines as if, you see the markings that are made when the roads are pre-treated. And, well, anyway, I don't know what it was, but I found that on High Street coming in. Bill says we're forecasting a 1 to 3 inch snow. So is the National Weather Service. Pretty much they're pegging this as 1 to 3, with maybe some areas getting up to 4 inches. Bill says that's not much normally, but it's the first real accumulating snow of the season. There will likely be travel impacts. So, yeah, tomorrow afternoon on the way home is when it could get a little bit dicey, especially if we get the high end of this prediction. So there will be some traffic impacts, travel impacts. Hopefully they're mostly minor. But be aware of that for the evening commute tomorrow. So that's what they're calling for. So this is the first time we should see some snow actually on the ground. Item number two, the governor today was testifying about right to work and whether or not right to work laws help lure businesses to a state. In this state, if you go to work for a union shop, you got to pay union dues. In a right-to-work state, you don't have to pay the dues if you don't want to. You still could be represented by a union, but if you choose not to pay the dues, that's your... And I guess, and I don't... I haven't looked at any studies in a while, but some stuff that I had seen in the past in some areas where this had been done, the problem for the unions is that there's a pretty hefty percentage of people who are union members that decide, well, no, I don't want the dues taken out of my check. There have been conflicting studies. I have seen some where in a right-to-work state, the average wages are a slight bit lower, but some of those states have also shown that there are more jobs available. I remember Governor Beshear saying, well, heck, this is a state that gives you a choice. You can be union or not. But if you go to work at a shop that's a union-represented shop, you got to pay the dues. And right-to-work, you don't have that problem. But for the unions, again, the problem is that when there are bans on mandatory dues, that weakens the unions by reducing membership and their finances. And the unions will say, well, then that reduces our bargaining power, and it makes us almost, well, non-existent. Union members made up 11% of the workforce in Kentucky in 2015. That's the latest year for which there have been statistics from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. That's a little high. That's a little higher than the national average, isn't it? Isn't the national average somewhere around 8%, 8, 9%, something like that? Well, so there were a bunch of angry union members that were in the hallways, ready to chant, ready to hurl insults at the governor. Now, again, the governor was there to testify. In fact, according to a news report I read, while the governor was testifying, there was banging on the walls outside and chanting, and I guess everybody was kind of acting like they're in the eighth grade. Here's a little sample of what the governor encountered in the hallways. He was addressing some of these union members and telling them how much he thinks they're stand-up kind
of
guys.
Greatness of America is people who are willing to get out of work every day, bust their tail, not only for themselves, but for their families, their communities, and the common good. And you're doing that. I'm doing it to the best of my ability, and so are other people. So
we don't agree on a lot.
It's about the American dream, right?
I hear up yours.
That's our choice. That's not your choice to make for us.
They can't represent
our choice to pay dues. We want to pay them, we're paying.
Well, right to work doesn't, that gives you a flavor of what happened there. There was just some sort of shouting back and forth between some of the union members and the governor, while this was going on. With the Republican majorities and a Republican governor, it hardly seems unlikely that this legislation isn't going to pass, and the governor will sign it. And the governor, during his testifying today, during his testimony, criticized some of the people who insulted him on the way in. The governor was booed by the unions as he walked in. The union members were outside chanting, "Working people matter." Inside, there were people representing Americans for Prosperity. They were applauding the governor while the union members were chanting against the governor today. So, as you might suspect, they weren't necessarily impressed with what the governor had to say. But it's probably going to be a losing effort. But the way I understand it, you get the choice. I mean, if you work in a union. And in a right-to-work state, if you want to pay the dues, you can pay the dues. If you don't, you don't have to. They're not mandatory. But again, the states that have passed this right-to-work legislation, almost all of the states, they find that the bans on the mandatory dues weaken the unions, lessens their financing because a significant percentage of union members decided they're not going to pay the dues. So, but again, whatever happened today with the confrontations and with some of the insults hurled back and forth and whatever noise was made, it's not likely to change the outcome that Kentucky will become. I think it would be the 27th or 28th right-to-work state in the union. The other issue, also a local one, that now you're aware of this, I'm sure, as you went to work or were, when you got up this morning, and that is the controversy over the naming of the new mascot at Lexington's high school, which is going to open up next this coming fall at Frederick Douglass High School. And they had chosen the mascot Stallions. They got the shirts printed, they got the horse logo already done. But a woman by the name of Diane Cahill created a petition on the website change.org against naming athletic teams and the school mascot at Lexington's Frederick Douglass High School as the Stallions. And the superintendent, Manny Calk, has said that there will be a change. The Fayette County Schools decided to reverse the course on the Stallions mascot. And they're going to let the students decide what the mascot is. Now, I'm not sure. First of all, this is a vote by the students, or the students will choose the mascot. It's probably going to be some sort of thoroughbred mascot because you've already done all this paraphernalia. And if you go with something completely different, they're going to have to spend money to change all that stuff. So you would think that maybe a name like Thoroughbreds or something is likely to be chosen. And I'm not exactly sure how they're going to do this. I did speak with Ms. Cahill this morning. I invited her to come on the program, and she declined. And I'll get into reasons why she declined here in a little bit. But my if the students get to vote on this and they decide they want Stallion, there's going to be sort of an electoral college that's as a checks and balance, mainly either the school board or the administration is going to say, no, we've pretty much decided we're going to reverse course on the Stallion's logo and we're going to choose something else as the mascot. According to the petition, the definition of a stallion is a male horse that has not been castrated, used for breeding, or the term stallion is slang for a powerful and virile man who has lots of lovers. The petition said, what message does this send to our daughters and granddaughters, our sons and grandsons? We demand that the name be changed to something more gender neutral and more indicative of Douglas's brilliant mind, successful career, and vision for equality, and to send a message to all students that they are respected and valued. And when I looked at the petition this morning, it had, I guess, a little over 200 signatures. And that was the number that Ms. Cahill had. I mean, we are talking less, significantly less than even a quarter of 1% of the population that has signed this petition. And I don't know, do you think, I understand the term stallion being used in a sexual context. I mean, I'm aware of it. I don't know that it pops in my mind. When I hear stallion, I think a male horse. When I think stallion, I'm not the sexual thing. Yeah, it's there, but I don't know that that's enough of a block. I think the big objection, and in talking to Ms. Cahill, was something that would be more gender neutral. And the reason that she did that, I want to get into this a little bit too, because the coarseness of our dialogue, the vitriol that you better prepare yourself for if you ever raise an issue like this or any other. And this is the reason why she didn't want to come on the show. And she's turned down television interviews. Because she didn't imagine. And this is a woman who described herself to me as somewhat of an activist. You know, this is somebody who she said she had seen. She didn't have any idea that any of this Stallion stuff was going on until she saw some friends post some stuff about it on social media. And then that motivated her too, because again, she has kind of an activist mentality, to go to change.org and start this petition and try to get it changed. And as she told me, you know, I don't need to put myself out front anymore, because she has found that putting herself out front has exposed her to hate, to vitriol, to meanness, to profanity. I mean, it's not enough these days. It's not enough for us to say, hey, I disagree with you, or hey, have you ever thought of it this way? It's no, you're wrong, and somebody ought to cut your throat. And as she said, pretty much accomplished what I set out to do. Even if I get a sense she didn't want to come on, even if I said, well, look, we won't even open the phone lines. We'll let you exist so that way if somebody wants to jump on you, it won't happen here. But anyway, I respect her decision not to do that. But, you know, the thing, I even said to her, I said, there are, with all the sports names that are out there, you know, you think of colonels, generals, warriors. I mean, those are fairly common sports names or mascot names or symbols. What's the gender you think of first? And don't lie when I say those. Male, right? Now, there have been some female generals, female warriors. Sure. Yeah, I mean, not only in our history, but also in fiction. But that's not what you think of first. What my suggestion is that most sports mascots. Now, I know the term stallion is specific to the male gender, but there are oodles of other sports mascots that while they may not be specifically male in gender, they're perceived to be male. The examples that come to mind first and foremost are male, are in most people, probably in 99.9%. So I don't, as far as me personally, how it affects my life, I'm more worried about this being an example of how there are such haters out there and such meanness out there for someone who would take a position that you don't agree with. Now, I know that you're fed up with this accumulated political correctness over the years and this enlightened intelligentsia trying to tell you what to think, and, oh, no, that's wrong, and you're being exclusive. I mean, I understand where that anger comes from as well, but there's anger on both sides, and it crosses the line to where it's hard now to have a debate or a discussion about anything. Without a woman who, she sounded to me, what's the word I'm looking for? She sounded exhausted just by, no, I didn't anticipate what I would get, what I would hear, what would be hurled at me, because I started this petition to try to get the school and the school system to consider another name. That, I think, concerns me. As far as my daily life is concerned, it's not going to affect me a whit what Frederick Douglass High School decides to choose as their mascot. Nothing against Frederick Douglass High School, but I doubt I'll ever go to an athletic event at Frederick Douglass High School. I mean, it's nothing against them, and I don't have a kid in high school here. That is the one area of sports I'm probably fairly ignorant in is the specifics of high school sports in this community. I didn't go to high school here, and it's not something I follow as a rule. So for me, as the mascot, does it affect my daily life? Probably doesn't affect many of you. Unless you are invested in the issue of gender equality and all that kind of stuff. For me, Stallions, I wouldn't have taken offense with it if that's the name that they decided to choose. But the issue that scares me, and this is not a singular example. I mean, we've been seeing this example a lot too much in politics primarily, but now it seems to have spread like a rash over everything else. That you can't bring something up or disagree without having to duck. I mean, how many times on this show have I mentioned such and such has been subject to death threats over nothing? I mean, we have so many ways to communicate now. We have so many ways to communicate anonymously. We can hide. And I got a story in the show prep here that I was probably going to get to in the first hour. I think it was out of Florida where truckers. Now, these are guys who spend their day on the road. The road rage, they say, is off the charts. In fact, there have been truckers that have been killed as a result of road rage. There are people that cut off trucks, that change lanes right in front of a truck. Don't you realize that stopping or slowing down an 18-wheeler with all that weight is not as easy as your ability to be able to brake in your passenger vehicle? But it's even this road rage is done anonymously. It's not the kind of thing that if I'm in a store and you cut me off or you do something, you're probably going to be less likely to get in somebody's face because they're right there. They can see you. Harder to run away or drive away in the case of road rage. So that's the thing about this that bothers. Again, at the end of the day, whatever they choose as their mascot, that's their business. That's fine. Stallions is perfectly fine with me. I don't have an issue with it. With Stallions, the first thing that comes to my mind is not the sexual reference. But if, on the other hand, the school decides, well, look, you know, some of the girls, they want a name that they would feel more comfortable. Well, all right. I don't think it's. Some people treat this like society is crumbling because of something like this. Stallions doesn't bother me again because for my money, most of the sports mascots that are out there already, while they may not be exclusively male in gender like a stallion is by definition, the connotation, the association I get is the same. Let me grab a call here, and then I got to get to a break. I'm late already, but we'll get Al in. Al, I'm glad you called. Hello.
Well, hello, and welcome to the afternoon.
Thank you, sir. Well, I was in the afternoon before. It's just now, and now it's dark during part of the time I'm on the air now, at least this time of year.
Well, it's just rather than be dark in the beginning. No, you weren't dark. Okay. Well,
yeah, anyway, no, dark outside later.
I have a great name. You ought to keep a list. I just believe with a football team going out there and the fight song, I think they ought to be called the Snuggle Bunnies.
The Snuggle Bunny. Well, that's not a very...
Either that or the Purple Squirrels.
The purple squirrels. Now, snuggle bunnies,
yeah, I think that would go great when they were hollering for their team, you know, and it's a close football team game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on a more serious note, when you said activist, immediately the hair stands up on my back. That's known as the pain in the you-know-whatest.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I think that...
Well, activists, I think she thought, I don't get a radicalization. I got a sense that she just, she gets involved in issues like this,
well,
where
yeah,
most people probably wouldn't.
Pain in the neck. Why doesn't she copy her next door neighbor or something and mm-hmm. not be a pain to all those around? You know, it's just, you know, these lay in the street type mentalities just have gagged me since the 60s.
Well,
I think that if, generally speaking, if you cannot prove that you're representing at least 5% of the American population on an issue,
mm-hmm.
you've got no voice, because you cannot be demanding laws, demanding money, demanding special treatment if you can't come up and prove that you represent or your cause represents 5% of the American population. I mean, if
well, but
that, well, we're sorry.
Let me give you.
Some people have red hair. Some people are born with one arm.
Right.
Some people are nearsighted. Some people are hard of hearing. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but you know that's life.
Well, here, let me play devil's advocate. Then, what she or what others might say is, well, I am representing more than 5%. I'm representing the girls that play girls' sports at that school that might not be comfortable or might resent having their team named after a male animal, an exclusively
well,
male animal.
Well, if you would follow my suggestion, that I would say they should put off naming it until the school is filled and operating, and then they have a vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but what, maybe it ought to be a vote of the parents and not the kids, because the kids don't have enough life experience or judgment.
Yeah.
And if they cannot come up with at least 5% of that, just, you know, well, forget it. I'm sorry. Get out of my face.
All right. Al, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. But haven't we welcomed voices on both sides if they felt something was wrong? Is this? It's not an issue that's strong enough to me. Like I said, to have started a petition or anything about, I probably wouldn't have thought much of it. Stallions, okay, yeah. Because again, most sports. I mean, you even have tigers and bears. They're not called lionesses. They're called lions. I mean, most sports mascots already these days have a. I'm probably on the right way on the politically wrong side here. I think some of these Native American sports names. Now, I'm not Native American, so maybe I'm not an expert on being offended by Native American names. But on one hand, I sometimes think if a sports team were named after a Native American figure, well, that's. I know some of you are going to disagree with this, but isn't that it's almost a form of respect, because you hold up your team, you root for your team. If you're in a certain community, like with the Washington Redskins, hail to the Redskins. I mean, that's the fight song. It to me, it boosts the name. But I don't know if I'm in the minority on that or not. I that's just how I sort of feel about it. Just after the news at 4 o'clock, we've got a historian. I think this guy is one notch below getting his doctorate from the University of Kentucky, but he's been quoted in publications like USA Today today. We'll talk to an individual, an expert, on the post-presidency and post-presidency behavior. Because it's, Obama has left enough breadcrumbs as a trail to indicate that he's probably not going to be a silent ex-president for very long. And he's already assigned himself some duties. One is rebuilding the Democratic Party that, well, he had a big part in tearing down in terms of Democrats not holding elective office across the country. But we could be seeing an ex-president be more vocal and I assume vocal against what the opposition party is doing, more so than we've seen since the days of Jimmy Carter. So that'll be coming up here in just a moment. So I guess if you're going to look for neutral names, because look, it's going to have a thoroughbred theme, it's going to have a horse theme. Manny Calk, the Fayette County Superintendent, they're going to keep the school colors, they're going to keep the horse theme. This is a school that's being built, I guess, on some sacred ground, part of the, it was once part of the Madden family Hamburg Place farm that did what? Well, they bred and raised racehorses. So it's going to be some sort. The colors are going to stay. The horse theme is going to stay. And again, I'm sure the school system doesn't want to have to spend again to throw out all the paraphernalia they've already printed. Guess you'll have to get rid of the stuff. There's a picture today of a mannequin wearing a Stallions jersey, and it says Stallions across the front. Well, I guess anything that references Stallions, but the actual somebody. I don't know if it was somebody on the air here. Or somebody else just in the office today, in looking at the actual horse logo, it is fairly similar to the Denver Broncos. And Broncos, I guess, would be a gender-neutral equestrian or equine name you could use. Spurs would be another one, Thoroughbreds. Now, I always thought the Thoroughblades was a great idea. When we had the professional hockey here the first time around, I thought they nailed it. Well, Thoroughblades was, and their mascot, you know, they had the horse with the, you know, with the skates wearing the logo with the hockey stick, and I thought that was a great logo. That work, that the name work, the mascot work, I thought it was great. I guess you go with Mustangs, wouldn't that be neutral? And would have a horse theme with this? Somebody commented that we shouldn't use the Stallions. Now, this is, I guess, somebody who's upset with the sexual reference of Stallions, which, again, maybe I don't think that way as much as you would think. Maybe some of you think, oh, guys, all you guys think about is sex. Well, in this particular case, when I hear the term Stallions, I was prompted when I looked at the definition of Stallions. Oh, yeah, that term is used to talk about male... proficiency. But I didn't think of it that way. But somebody made the comment that, well, you know, Stallions, that's not an encouraging message for teens that are already assaulted by an oversexed media. And that we shouldn't encourage that. You know, I get the political correctness and all the safe rooms and safe places and all that kind of stuff. The Stallions name doesn't bother me. Let the students decide. Let the school decide. And if they decide on something else, that's fine. But as I said, I do get, and we see it in the politics all the time. I do get troubled with the fact that it's hard to raise an issue that might be controversial without being threatened or without being personally insulted. You want to argue on the merits of the issue. You want to argue against somebody's position and actually use some reasoned and sound arguments. Fine. I think that's great. But if your assault, and much of this is done anonymously through the cover of darkness or behind some computer someplace or a phone, is to threaten somebody or to call them some sort of vile name of some kind. I mean, we see this all the time with this trolling. And I used to point this out with Obama, and we see the same thing with we're seeing it everywhere. We see it with Trump. This term trolling, where basically I throw something out there to get a reaction, and I usually get it. And it's a win-win. If I troll and you respond, well, I just point at you, laugh. Got you. Thin-skinned. Sure triggered a reaction out of you. And if the person, the target, doesn't respond, then he's a coward. He or she's a coward. So you say something that's untrue or you make a charge at somebody. It can be vile. It can be stupid. It can be untrue. You get a rise out of your opponent. You know, now if you're speaking the truth, if you want to argue on the merits, but trolling, it doesn't have anything to do with the truth. And I mean, we have a president-elect now that likes to engage in policy announcements via Twitter. I think it's a way for him, first of all, it's a way for him unfiltered to be able to state a particular position. I think in terms of international affairs, it can be a little bit dangerous. The Chinese are already starting to call out Trump. Let's not do diplomacy by trolling, Bud. The Chinese are taking issue with the idea that, well, we're not stepping up to do enough to try to stop North Korea. You know, the Obama administration may have been right about one thing. They told the incoming Trump administration the biggest national security issue, the most worrisome right now, is North Korea. And I would have to think because that guy is a lunatic who's running North Korea. The Chinese, the Russians, they got nuclear weapons, but they're not insane. This in North Korea, who knows? And if this guy has the capability, we're going to talk to a diplomat about this on Friday, the North Korean situation. If our State Department says, John Kirby, the State Department said yesterday, well, we don't think they have the capability to be able to put a nuclear weapon on the tip of a ballistic missile. We don't think they're there yet, but they're going to get there. All right, whether they're there or not, let's say they're not, but they're attempting to get there. And if that happens, there could be a situation where San Francisco or Los Angeles could be targeted, where millions could die. So it's very and so how do you deal with an unstable, insane regime? You know, back during the Cold War, at least you had two sides that, while it would get tense from time to time, neither one wanted to be a party to their mutual destruction or to their destruction, because they knew what would happen. We strike the United States. Well, what's going to happen? Boom. We're going to wipe you out, too. And anyway, it's the way we communicate. I mentioned the road rage thing. And this is from the Jacksonville, Florida newspaper. There's a prevailing mentality of truck drivers these days that when it comes to courtesy, there isn't any. Lane changes, mergings, they trigger the vast majority of road rage between trucks and other vehicles. Especially true of cars squeezing in front of tractor trailers, forcing them to slam on the brakes. And as I mentioned, these trucks, they're not as light as cars are. They can't stop as quickly. Hitting the brakes hard on a truck causes dysfunction in the braking system. It can shift the load of the truck out of balance. It can be, and there have been truckers that have been killed or have had to veer out of the way of commuters who cut them off. And there's been stories with truckers being shot at because, of course, if the truck has to stop or has to veer or some trucker made you mad, of course, they're constantly the target of the finger, some sort of cursing, whatever. But then what happens? You're not facing the trucker face-to-face. You just vroom off into the distance. And then, of course, the truckers also say we have another issue, too, where nobody's paying attention. Because remember, they sit up higher than the rest of us. They're seeing what's going on down below, and they're seeing an awful lot of texting. They're seeing drivers drifting all over the road, holding smartphones. And just like everywhere else, there's this mentality that I'm anonymous behind the wheel. I can get away quick. So, on our roadways, and that has become a dangerous thing. To the phones, here's Whitney on News Talk 590 WVLK. Hello, Whitney.
Hey, Cruiser. Oh, this whole change has just rocked my world, man.
Wow.
I'll tell you.
I hope for the good.
Well, I don't know. I'm usually not going home at this time of day, but that's okay. Huh. So, you know what? All these people need to get a life. Let's not be, I read today, Tuesday, let's see, Ashley Judd is upset over chicken tenders, and really?
No, what she's upset about is at the UK basketball games, Chick-fil-A gives away tickets for a free chicken biscuit. If you go to a UK home game, and I guess you got to produce your ticket, if a player from the opposing team misses two free throws in a row, then I guess you go to a Chick-fil-A, you take your ticket, and you get a free chicken biscuit. And so during the game last night, Ashley Judd tweeted, "Your promotion," talking to Chick-fil-A, "for fans to cheer against kids attempting free throws is tacky. Please find another in-game promotion." Well, you, Ashley Judd, aren't you rooting against the other team? You don't want them to make free throws and score on the Cats. What's the matter with Chick-fil-A? What's the matter with, don't get in the way of my free chicken biscuit for doing what I would be doing naturally, and that is rooting for the opposition to miss the free throws.
Thank you.
I mean, Well, and she's getting heat for it.
I wish people could get a life.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it is what it is.
I bet Ashley Judd hates the curtain of distraction. I can't remember the team. Did you remember this, where this college team, when the opposing team is down in front of the student section shooting free throws, I think it's a team out west. This is one of the best promotions of sports or otherwise that I've ever seen. The students will come out with a curtain, and you never know what's coming out from behind the curtain. And it's meant to distract the opposing player that is shooting a free throw right in the face of the student section. I think it's great. There's nothing illegal about it in terms of, you know, it's not a foul. It's not, in the NFL, of course, it would be you'd get flagged for it and penalized for it. Yeah, I know. And again, this is powder puff stuff with Ashley Judd. Come on. Chick-fil-A's trying to do a little promotion. I get a free chicken biscuit out of the deal for rooting what would come naturally to a Cats fan, and that is rooting for the other team to miss shots. Thanks, Whitney. Here's Lee on News Talk 590 WVLK. Hello, Lee.
Hi. In answer to the gentleman a little while ago who wanted anybody who doesn't represent 5% to shut up, The oldest and largest civil rights organization in the United States has a membership of 5 million people. That's about 2.2% of the adults. We provided Donald Trump's margin of victory in a number of states, and we're working very hard for that gentleman's civil rights. And in case you want to know, the name of that organization is the National Rifle Association of America.
The NRA. Okay. And
only
what percentage?
2.2% of adults.
Only 2.2% of adults are NRA members. Okay.
And dues.
Yeah, and
if that gentleman wants us to sit down and shut up because we aren't 5%, he needs to join us.
Well, I think you would agree that the outsized influence of the NRA is perceived, at least, to be far bigger than just 2.2%. I mean, they are an effective political advocacy group.
It's 2.2% of people who will actually do something.
Yeah, that actually pay whatever dues or actually participate
We call our congressmen. We write letters.
I see.
We work in support of local officers.
Okay. All right. Good point, Lee. Thanks. I appreciate the phone call. 253-5959. Star 590 from AT&T, toll free 1-877-777-0590, email address cruiser at WVLKAM.com. Well, and as I suggested to the caller, playing devil's advocate, the people signing the petition who are against the name of Stallions probably believe that they would at least have the majority of those on the female side of the gender equation that would be uncomfortable with the Stallions name. You know what they ought to do? Just let the students vote on it. But I mean, put a ballot together, okay? We already know it's going to be know what the colors are going to be, and it's going to have some sort of an equine theme or a horse theme. Put Stallions on the ballot, and let's see where it goes. But you know that's not going to be the name; it'll be something else. That'll be more gender neutral. Which you know, I say, look, all right, work these things out. I realize there might be more people that are invested in this more seriously than perhaps I might be. But again, what worries me is just the coarseness of the debate when somebody brings something up, because it's something too that is not very consequential, is it? But I don't know. I guess for some people it's a bigger. Email, hey, Cruiser, I like the name of Stallions, and I didn't really think it was a bad name. Maybe they should keep Stallions for the boys and Phillies for the girls. Now, you may be out there thinking, well, Cruiser, there's the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah, but that, I looked into that a little bit. That reference is not a horse reference. I think Phillies, as in the Philadelphia Phillies, they used to be called, I think, the Quakers way back when. I'm talking about the baseball team, the Major League Baseball team. Philly, I think, is just a term of slang referring to the city of Philadelphia, isn't it? The Philadelphia Phillies, their name doesn't have anything to do with a female horse. It's Philly. Like if you, I just got back from Philly. Instead of saying Philadelphia, you say Philly. I went to Philly. I got a text from a friend of mine here. If they don't like the term Stallions because it's male and sexist, perhaps rename the school from a man to a thing. Well, that's true. We name the school after a man. Like they do in New York, right? It's a PHS 6 or PHS 8. You know, they just, it's public high school and they give it a number. And the mascot could be something generic like beneficiaries, and the logo would be a hand reaching into somebody else's wallet. Like, you know, like, we're taking tax money from you, we're taking money from you to fund our educational enterprise. I'll get one more call in here, and then we got to go to the news break at the top of the hour. Richard is next. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Cousin, long time no call you.
Yeah.
I'm a lifetime member of the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
This political correctness stuff. Won't they name the school political correct?
Politically correct high school.
You know, and it's utterly what I'm saying. Someone has to, these snowflakes out there, they cause problems for everybody. It's getting ridiculous.
Well, I agree with you there, but I think there's degrees of ridiculousness, at least for me. There's some of this that scares me or concerns me more than others. I know some people probably are upset by what they feel is the cumulative factor. There in a week that goes by that there isn't somebody that's whistling you or calling you down for being sexist or something like that. I don't have a problem with the name the Stallions, but then again, I find that there are bigger fish to fry out there. As I've said, what concerns me is how you can't express an opinion anymore without being significantly attacked for it. I mean, and not in a way that just attacks me based on another set of facts or something that would add some reasonable context to a debate.
Cruiser, there's one other thing. You
yes,
talk
sir.
About Philly.
Yeah.
Philly. Well, that starts with a P. Now, I've been to Keeneland to watch my Philly race, and that starts with an F. So it could very well be Phillies and Stallions.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, they could decide to do that. I don't know. Whether they'll... I don't know what... If there's any significance into the cost of developing the logos and things like that, if you're going to do two separate ones. And then, look, there'll probably be some people that would complain that, well, we need unification here. We need we can't have the males having their team name and the females having their team name. I mean, it all, you know, I would think there might be some people that would object to doing that. Because that would be sillier, because that then denies that there are differences between men and women, and there clearly are. And you know what? That's not a bad thing to me. I'm glad that women are different than me. I'm attracted by the things that make a woman different than me. Thanks for the call, Richard. We got to go. As I mentioned, we got a guest coming up. We'll change the subject here a bit after the top of the hour news. We have a historian who we're going to talk to about the behavior of ex-presidents, post-presidential behavior, and perhaps what to expect out of President Obama when he's former President Obama.